Well, good evening,
Love
everybody.
Radio.
It's Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. I'm really happy to be with you tonight. Tonight, well, first of all, I'm going to say for those of you who haven't tuned in before that this show is about childhood memories. And the purpose of my show in sharing my childhood memories is so that hopefully it can evoke in you, you know, to relive your childhood memories. Bringing back childhood memories that are fond and happy is like eating a nice fine piece of dark chocolate. It releases endorphins and changes your mood. So I created this show for that main purpose. You know, I'm not a youngster, a spring chicken anymore, and childhood memories are very precious. So without further ado, I will begin my show. I want to say, first of all, that most of you know that I'm a singer, songwriter, guitar player, and also record producer, and now the host of my own talk radio show. Life is full of surprises, and we, you know, strive in our lives to be happy. I'm going to read something from, it's the Rubicon Dictionary of Positive, Motivational, Life-Affirming, and Inspirational Quotations. And I picked this one for this evening, and it is about happiness. And it says, don't postpone happiness. People who postpone happiness are like children who try chasing rainbows in an effort to find the pot of gold at the rainbow's end. Your life will never be fulfilled until you are happy here and now. By Ken Keyes, Jr. Well, I really believe in that, and so I am going to be in the moment with y'all. Oh, that's my little southern drawl coming out from my country music. I'm going to be with you now for a half an hour, and I truly hope that you enjoy it and that I can invoke some happiness and laughter in some of you. One of my songs is called This Girl's Gonna Make It, and I like to say this. This is a phrase from the song, and it's, I know you have a dream, and you can make it come true. Just believe in yourself and know it's up to you. And boy, if that isn't true, I spent a lot of my early years thinking, oh, you know, when you're children, you dream of having this and that. And, oh, if I only had that, I would be the happiest person and then or child. And then you get that particular toy that you wanted. And you play with it for a little while. And then you find, well, it makes me happy, but it doesn't make me happy forever. And you think of another toy that you might like. And that's what life is about, really. It's about achieving things. It's about setting goals and about, you know, if you want certain things, you work hard and then you get them and you get to enjoy them. So, you know, one of my dreams a few years ago was doing radio, and my dream has come true. And I started doing blog talk radio. That's what I'm doing right now. And my idea for this show was to actually have guests on this show. But it turned out that I was asked to do my show, Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style, with HamiltonRadio.net. And I went with them several months ago, and I'm very happy with that show. And at that show, I interview others, and I have them come to the show, and the show is broadcast out of Trenton. But back to my show for tonight and what I chose to talk to about tonight. You know, I did a Sandy series, and then I thought, well, what am I going to do after that? And I started, you know, to think about it, and I said, well, I'm just going to share my childhood memories. And when, you know, I have lots of brothers and sisters, and when I run out of my childhood memories, I will start, and with their approval, I will ask my brothers and sisters if I could talk about some of my childhood memories that I had that relate directly to them. And if they say, oh, that's okay, then that's what I'll do. And boy, I'll be busy for a really long time because there are four girls and four boys in my family. And I am the second oldest. I'm a girl, of course. Of course, we know that. So, but for tonight I chose, this is the theme of my show tonight. This special solo show will be about my childhood memories of my mother's mother, my Nana, and how she cared for me when I was growing up. More about school and more about winter play days and sick days as well. I will also be talking about me and my Nana and what we did in Asbury Park. So I'm going to start off with my Nana, and I hope that you really enjoy this and that my memories will invoke in you some of your own childhood memories of your grandparents, or it could even be some special elderly person that you, in fact, I'm just thinking about an elderly person, and I will talk about her later, who was very important to me while I was growing up. But I'm going to get down to my Nana. My Nana was very special to me, my mother's mother, and she was a baby nurse. So she would go to the hospitals, and when the mother would deliver the baby, and my grandmother Nana would be with that woman and take their baby home and stay with them for a month or two, whatever she was hired for. And she would take care of the baby and take care of the mother as well. So she was really an infant expert, we'll put it that way. I remember her saying, no, we don't pick up the baby the minute it cries. It's got to develop its lungs. And, you know, she had her theories about it. And, you know, she believed in taking very good care of her infant babies and keeping them very clean and happy too, you know, and feeding them and keeping them on schedule. That was very important. And I believe that that's what we're lacking in today's society, is the lack of any type of scheduling for children, you know, letting them do whatever they please. Because I think for children to feel secure, they do need that, you know, get up at a certain time and go to bed at a certain time and develop healthy attitudes and healthy lifestyles early on are very important. I learned that from going to parochial school. That was there was a lot of discipline instilled in me. I rebelled against it, but I did get discipline. Back to my Nana. My Nana lived in Asbury Park for most of my childhood. She lived on Bond and 4th Avenue. And I went to Holy Spirit Grammar School. And so from kindergarten through 8th grade, so I was there nine years, my early development. And every Friday, this is one of my favorite stories to tell about my Nana. My Nana was a Jehovah's Witness. And she was a funny character. When I think about her and what she did, I have to laugh now because I was raised Catholic. And in those days, Catholics were not allowed to eat fish. I mean, we're not allowed. We're mandated, excuse me, to eat only fish on Fridays. You could eat other things too, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or whatever else, but you could not eat red meat. You were not allowed to eat any kind of meat on Fridays. So every Friday, I would walk up the few, I'm not sure how many blocks it was exactly from Holy Spirit, maybe four blocks, up to my grandmother's house, and, you know, at the same time for lunch. And I would, you know, Nana, because she would have this just the screen door there in the summer anyway, not the summer, because in summer we weren't in school, but in the warm weather she would have the door open. I'd go, Nana, I'm here, and she'd come to the door, and she would look at me, and she'd say, oh, my gosh, and she would take her hands up, and she would place them on her cheeks, slap her cheeks, and say, oh, my gosh, and throw her hands up in the air and say, oh, I forgot it's Friday, oh, my goodness. And I said, Nana, what's wrong? And she would say, I made you chicken, a chicken sandwich. Well, my Nana would make me, on purpose, I think, God love her and forgive her for it, she would make me the most delicious chicken sandwich, just the way I liked it. And she would cook a whole chicken herself that morning, and she would give me just the white meat chicken breast on Pepperidge Farm bread with Hellman's mayonnaise and a little bit of salt and pepper, just the way I loved it. And she would make me a huge, huge Carnation instant malted milkshake. And that would be my lunch. And I'll tell you what, that went on for years, years and years. And every Friday, I looked forward to going to my Nana's and having that lunch because it was always delicious. And it was always the same. And my Nana was always there for me for that. And I feel very blessed to have had that. And, you know, I had mostly brothers growing up until the sisters came along. It was like my parents had two different families because it was my brother Billy and then me. And then it was my my brother Bobby, and then my brother Jay, and we had another brother that came along later on in life that we, well, it's rather a lengthy story, so I can't get into that this evening, but I have a wonderful brother Bob in Florida who we all love and adore and met in adulthood. But getting back to my particular immediate family and siblings that I grew up with, the boys weren't invited for Friday chicken. Unfortunately, they weren't invited. I was the first granddaughter, and I was spoiled. I was the little princess, so I got that special treatment. And Nana, I know you hear me up there in heaven, and I want to thank you again for that, because it's a wonderful childhood memory that I had with my Nana. In addition to taking care of babies, my grandmother was also a wonderful seamstress. And for extra money, she would make these beautiful, beautiful aprons in all different fabrics. And some had a fringe on them, and some had lace around them, and some had pockets and some didn't. Some were the aprons that had the tops and the bottom, you know, a top that would tie around your neck, or a loop that would go around your neck, but they were all so pretty and different. And she would not just make the aprons, she would make the tea towels, or so you would call them, like towels to dry your dishes with, and she would make potholders that matched. She was very talented and creative, and they were all so much fun. And my mother was a very good daughter, and she was very dedicated to her mother, to my Nana. And on the weekends, every weekend, we would drive down to Point Pleasant. Later on in my life, when I was an adult and grown up, my grandmother had moved in with my mother's sister, my Aunt Jean. And my Aunt Jean is heavy laden on my heart right now, because I got a phone call yesterday from Florida, and I had talked with my Aunt Jean just a month ago, and she's not 91 years old, and that call is kind of haunting me, because I haven't been back in touch with my cousin Bobby. I've tried to call many times, and he hasn't gotten back to me, and I have a very intuitive feeling that something is wrong, and that it's a possibility that my beloved Aunt Jean has passed on. And I will not know that until my cousin calls me back. So that's kind of heavy on my heart right now. And I'm praying for my cousin Bobby and his family that all is well. But getting back to my grandmother and my mother would take us down to Point Pleasant to visit my Nana. My Nana loved plants, and she would always have some new plants to show us. And she loved to grow. She would always be growing avocados or potatoes or carrots on the windowsill. And she would also plant things in planting season, but she would always be showing us, wait till you see the new aprons I made. And I would always be excited to see all of her new creations, because they were always so pretty. The fabrics were always very pretty. So my mother, to boot, became wonderful. I will call my mother a master seamstress, or rather a tailor, because my mother sewed beautiful, beautiful. She even made wedding gowns, and she made many, many bridesmaids' dresses. She was just a wonderful, wonderful seamstress, and she would do all that beautiful hand sewn with the lace on the inside on the hems. And I mean, that takes a lot of skill and a lot of patience. And my mother had a business for many, many years where people would come to our home and bring their dresses and coats, and whatever it was, my mother could fix it. So she learned that from my grandmother. And I'm lucky to be able to do a hem and sew a button on. That's about the extent of my sewing. But I did learn how to knit and how to crochet from my grandmother and my mother, who both knew how to knit and crochet as well. So, getting back to my Nana and what we did in Asbury Park, and Asbury Park is one of my themes, and it's already 15 minutes into the show. This is just a half an hour show, so I have to really fit in a lot in this half an hour. My Nana, also in the summertime, used to take me to my favorite place, the Monte Carlo Pool. And for those of you who were not blessed to be in my era, which was a 60s generation girl, there was a pool called the Monte Carlo Pool in Asbury Park, and it was a full block. And it was the largest pool in the world, and I am pretty sure that I'm accurate on that fact. If anyone wants to challenge me on that, please do. It was a beautiful pool, and it was enormous. And it had these huge domes, and out of those domes came water that was so forceful that it had to be, I don't know how many feet in the air it would go. And the water, you'd swim up underneath, right next to these domes, these huge, big, round domes, and the water would come down, crashing down on your head. You couldn't stay under there very long. You'd have to swim out to be able to catch your breath. And she would take me there every weekend that was nice. We would be at the Monte Carlo Pool, and it also had a diving pool, and that was very mysterious to me. And I did go off the dive board, but that was a very, very deep pool because it had at one end, it was so deep, it had a high dive so that you could have dived. There were divers that would dive off that diving board that could do, you know, the somersaults. I don't even know what you call them. But there would be people that would go up and do unbelievable dives that were amazing from that high dive. I never went off the high dive. I have like a little bit of a fear of height. So I never once even jumped off of that high dive. But I did go off the low dive quite a few times. And I would just do your normal, you know, the hands out. You know, I was a surfer, so a body surfer in the ocean, and loved that. And I did a lot of that at Phillips Avenue Beach and at the Allenhurst Beach Club, mostly Phillips Avenue Beach. But so I would just do your regular dive, you know, face first, hands out dive. But my Nana, God love you for taking me to the Monte Carlo Pool. It was just such a special treat. And that's what my Nana gave me. I also was, I think I'll talk about all of the summer things that I did with my Nana first before I move on to winter play days, because I have that on my agenda for tonight as well. A lot of times, I had, let's call them sick days. I used to get tonsillitis really bad when I was a kid. That is not a happy childhood memory. And excuse me while I take a little sip here of my refreshment, liquid refreshment. That's very good. I had given up Pepsi Cola, but on a special occasion like doing a radio show, I let myself have a little bit. But getting back to my Nana and my summer fun and the Monte Carlo Pool, I do want to talk a little bit more about that because it had an underground, for those of you too that haven't been there, it had an underground tunnel that you would walk underground and then you would find yourself up on the beach. And that was so cool. You know, going through that tunnel onto the beach. I think that there are still tunnels in Asbury Park from, I'm not sure if it was the Berkeley Carteret or not, but I think there still is a tunnel somewhere that goes from the street onto the beach, but I'm not sure from where. Oh boy, lots of childhood memories of that boardwalk, of the boardwalk, miniature golf. Oh, I could go on. In fact, I need hours to talk about all of that, so I'm not going to get into that. I will get into talking about, though, that in my hour show, when I interview people that remember Asbury Park, I'll be talking about Asbury Park for the rest of my life because I grew up there and I went to Asbury Park High School for just 1 year, but I was in Asbury always, and so I do have so many fond memories of it. And I know I'm jumping around, but and I was talking about when I would get sick with tonsillitis, so I'll get back. Forgive me for skipping around so much. I have a habit of doing that. On sick days, there were so many children in my family, and I would get strep throat, and my mother would ship me off to Nana's in Asbury, to her apartment, and I would stay there until I was not contagious anymore. And I remember we would be watching TV, and my Nana would always give me, have ice cream for me, and she really took good care of me. And then I would be able to go home again when I was, after I had taken my penicillin, which I'm allergic to now. I think I had so much as a child from my tonsillitis that I became allergic to it. I finally had my tonsils out when I was 18 years old. That was not fun, but I needed to have them out. So, Nana, thank you for taking care of me and for taking care of all of us. My Nana, she used to make all these booties, and every Christmas she would give us a new pair of booties. Just when they would, you know, wear out, because they were all knit, and we'd have them. They'd keep us warm all winter long, and then we'd need a new pair. So that's it for my Nana. She was a wonderful woman. She loved all of us, and I have lots of fond memories of my Nana, but it's 10 of, and I only have 10 more minutes. And I want to talk about some more, she's involved, but I want to talk about some more summertime fun. And summertime fun for me was involving the ocean. The ocean is such a big part of my life, and this is about my childhood memories, these solo shows. And I know I've touched on it before, but I want to talk more about it. Many of you grew up on the shore and experienced the same things, so I hope I can bring you back to those days of getting up early, and it's a gorgeous day, and you can even close your eyes and you can imagine the sun out, and you can imagine the smell, that it smelled so beautiful. In our backyard, we had enormous honeysuckle bushes, and it went all the way from the back of our house to the next house. And, oh, the smell, it was divine. We also had lilac bushes love lilac bushes. And we had Lily of the Valley that smelled so pretty, and they grew underneath the lilac bushes. But I remember growing up, you know, I remember those days, waking up, rather, on the most beautiful, splendid summer days that you knew were going to be outrageous for the beach. Days that you would go to the beach, and it would be sunny out and stay sunny out all day. I believe that the weather is changing now, and it's a shame, but I have not experienced those days since I came back to New Jersey 6 years ago. But those days were in my childhood, and there were many of them, where there was not wind, and where, the waves. You know, you'd go down, and when it would be high tide, and the waves would be phenomenal for body surfing. And you knew, and I knew, rather, that I was going to spend almost every waking hour of that day on the beach in the water. And my mother would get up really early, and she would make us lunches. And I remember, too, I would be so excited when we would have these great lunches that my mother would make. We wouldn't always have great. Sometimes we'd just have peanut butter and jelly. Sometimes we'd have bologna, which is, you know, in those days, bologna was a big deal. You know, I mean, everybody ate bologna sandwiches. And I guess some children still do. I don't eat bologna anymore. Every now and then I have to have a bologna sandwich with mayonnaise and white bread. But my mom used to make us, you know, once in a while we'd have, like, leftover chicken, and she would go get these Kaiser rolls and have, you know, chicken sandwiches on Kaiser rolls. And those were the days that we'd have the really delicious lunches, and we'd have chips, maybe potato chips, and a soda with it. Those were the special lunch days. And we would have to wait a minimum of half an hour before we could go back into the water. And I remember thinking, oh, God, when is it going to be a half an hour up? When is a half an hour up? When is a half an hour up so I can go back in the water? And I would go back in the water and be in the water till 5 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon, when my mother would call us all in and we'd take our cold showers and get all the salt water off of us and go home for dinner. I was like a prune, a literal prune. My fingers every day were like prunes. Oh, I loved those summer days. And I also have to talk about, you know, how fortunate I was, too. My dad was a boat builder for 13 years as I was growing up, and he built Ryan Sea Skiffs. And some of those boats are up in Florida, or down in Florida, rather. And some of those boats are still here. And my dad did boat shows at the convention hall each year. And they were really great boats. My dad believed in putting the very best into his boats. They were really beautiful. And so on the weekends, a lot of the weekends, my brothers and sisters would be spending time on going on the boat. My dad would take us out on the boat for a ride, a boat ride. Mostly I remember on Sundays, my dad would pile us all up in the car, and he would give my mother a break that day from the children. We'd all jump in the car, and we'd get all excited. Daddy, where are we going? Where are we going? And my dad would go, we'd, you know, think it would be somewhere different. He'd fool us every Sunday, and he'd go, down the river. And down the river we would all go, you know, to just hang out, smell that river. I can smell the river as I'm sitting here. I can smell the river and smell the way the boat smelled, the way it smelled when you started up that engine. You know, I can remember, you know, looking at for crabs and throwing and looking for shells and throwing stones into the river and just hanging out at the river. It was a good life. I remember there was a, because we used to go out of Shark River, out of that inlet, and there was a place that you could get, you know, soft drinks and things like that. And they actually had a vending machine. And my dad would give us enough money to get one thing, and we would all run over, and I would always get an ice-cold Yoo-Hoo. And that was my favorite drink. I was really into chocolate and still am today. And I get that ice-cold Yoo-Hoo on a hot summer day. Boy, that was it. That was living the life, the high life for me. Yeah, my dad was a good old chap. He was a fisherman. They called him the old man of the sea. Anybody that wanted to know anything about boats would go to my dad. And my dad many nights would leave after dinner and go down the river by himself. And I learned later, after my dad passed away, I would hear many stories about my father and about how people would go to him and ask him all about boats and about, you know, what paints to use and how to prime this or prime that or, you know, he just knew everything. And my dad was a self-taught man. My dad started building, I think he built his first boat when he was a teenager, and he built it down the cellar on Brighton Avenue, and I think it was, maybe it was Bath Avenue. I'm not sure if it was Bath Avenue or Brighton Avenue in Long Branch, but I remember the story that my dad built a boat down in their cellar, and, you know, from then on, my dad was like a fisherman from when he was a young child, and we have this great picture of my dad, and it was in the paper. He caught a fish. It was like almost as big as he was. It was like huge, absolutely huge. I don't know how he pulled it in because he was a skinny, scrawny thing. And when he was growing up, he was very, very slender, very thin. And I don't know how he caught that fish by himself, but he did. Wow. The show's almost over. I was just cued. It said I had 90 seconds till the end of my show. Wow. You know, I think I talked about, you know, not all of the categories I was going to talk about radio. I guess I touched on it. My other show is with HamiltonRadio.net, and I do that show twice a month, and I have a guest. My last guest was Vinnie Mad Dog Lopez, and it was just wonderful. Please go to Hamilton.net and listen to our interview. It was really phenomenal, and thank you, Vinnie, for being on my show. Also, go on and listen to Danny Coleman, Rock On Radio. He was a guest on my show. Calvin Schwartz was a guest on my show. I have a show coming up next Thursday that I'm really looking forward to. So please stand by and be there for that show. You will find out who my guest is then. I don't in advance give out that information. Well, I will, actually. It is promoed on my Facebook. And so, yeah, I might as well tell you who it is. It's Harvey Rothman. He's going to be on my show, and you'll find out all about Harvey and his childhood experiences and the type of man that he is today. He's a great fellow. I'm very excited about the coming show. I'm still being prompted that my show's going to end, so I just want to thank everyone for listening. This is a privilege for me, and I thank Blog Talk Radio for the opportunity to do my solo show with them. I will continue to do this as it is inspiring to me, number one, and I pray and hope that it's inspiring to you all as well. So I'm going to wrap it up saying this is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it, Asbury Park style. I really do. I'm being redundant right now, but I'm going to say again, I hope that this show has evoked in you some really wonderful childhood memories. And with that, I'm going to bid you all a good night. Have a wonderful evening. Peace out. It's been a great show.